Well, welcome back to Vertical Families. After a long time off, I'm back in the studio with my mother-in-law.
It has been a while, hasn't it?
Yep. Just figured you didn't want to come see me anymore.
No, that's not it.
Okay.
Well, we don't have Blake in Cincinnati when you come down in the summer.
That's true. I come see you in the summer and you spend the winter months here.
There we go.
So we have a lot to talk about. It's been a while.
It has. It was kind of hard to think of topics for second season. There were so many floating around.
Yeah. Well, the one today is one that you never had, I won't say never, but for the most part, you didn't have to deal with this.
We did not. When our kids were growing up, phones were tethered to the wall.
Yeah.
And we had pretty close control and reins on what was going on the telephone.
Yeah, it's funny, on a tether to the wall, we moved into a new house about a year ago, and we had a phone jack, because it's an older house.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my daughters walked in there and was like, what plugs into here?
Nothing that you own. Yeah,
right. Just trying to explain to her. That's how you used to have to talk on the phone. It's right there.
So. Those older houses are filled with them.
Yeah.
We hide them strategically behind calendars and photographs.
But yeah, so parents today, like, they're encountering something that your generation didn't encounter at all. And even my generation, it's different today than what it was when my daughters were 2 and 3 years old. So
it's exploding very quickly. And something parents need to be on guard about.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and you can't get away from it. So the schools now use technology, right? You're going to have e-learning days. They're going to be doing their homework on computers, and you just can't run and hide from it.
Yeah, a lot of people, when there's something looming out there that scares them, they want to protect their kids in a bubble, and you can't do that these days with this. I know even when I was teaching, and I've been out of it a few years, the push had really gone to having the kids on the computer almost all day at school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a tough one because this is a topic that there's biblical wisdom in it, but the standards may be different for each family. Like, the standards I have for my family may not be the standards you have for your family, but I would encourage you have to do something.
Well, and you and I talked about that in one of the episodes in season one. You can be a biblical Christian parent, but parent with different styles. It doesn't mean one's right or one's wrong. It's what you and your spouse decide is your style. And I think the same thing applies here. Everybody's going to do it differently, but you're right. They've got to be proactive. They've got to think about it ahead of time.
Yeah. So you have a list of 10 suggestions for defending your kids in this.
We came up with a few,
and
somebody may have some extra ones, but these are the things that came to my mind as I think, and again, I didn't face this as a parent,
right?
But I'm seeing this as someone who taught in the school system and who has grandkids.
Yeah.
And the first thing I think is just be aware. Know where your kids are, what they're doing. It's easy to come home from work and be tired and put your feet up or need to fix dinner and get things done. And as long as the kids are quiet, you don't care.
Yeah.
And we can't do that.
Yeah. So know what they're doing, like, online.
Yes.
On the phone, the tablets. I think the hard thing on that is that the kids are, it's constantly changing. So one of my daughters has got social media. And I was like, "Wait, are you going to get Facebook?" She's like, "No,
it's not in anymore."
Right, and so the
that's an old people one.
What she's talking about, getting, I have no clue, right? Even how to navigate those things, but I need to know.
Well, you do, and kids are so savvy. When I was substitute teaching at the end of my career, I would go in a little apprehensive because the technology was changing so quickly, and I think, I don't know that I know how to do this. And I learned very quickly. All I had to do was say, "Who can help me?"
Yeah.
Set this up. Who can help me get to this site? And the kids know.
They do.
So, parents have got to stay up on it. They've got to learn those new things that are coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's part of parenting, right? So be aware. Know what your children are doing online. Yeah.
And then going right along with that is preview it. Mm-hmm. You know, as you said, daughter's got a new one you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Go look it over. Find out about it. What's it all about?
Yeah. Yeah. So preview what they're listening to and watching. And
And that goes not just for the social media and the phones, but my goodness, all the media they can access on their phone, on the TV, in your living room. What are they watching? What are they listening to?
Yeah. Yeah. I liked your next one. You mentioned number three was ask. So have your children show you their favorite games and online activities.
I think if you ask, it kind of takes that disciplined, I'm in trouble kind of thing off the child where they get defensive. If you're saying, what is that? But if you're just asking them to show you, it invites them to open up and let you come in.
Yeah, I Because I think otherwise the kids automatically think that this is negative. They're wanting to come down on it. They think I'm doing something bad.
Yeah, they hear so much negative, and especially associated with their social media and their phones.
Yeah. I had a couple of boys at church. This is a while back, but they're sitting there on the phone doing something. I sat down next to them, and they're playing Minecraft, which I know I should know what that is because I see it all around, but I don't have a clue, right? So, but they love showing me how to build and do things. And
as you're saying that, when we were up visiting in New York over Thanksgiving, Don sat down and let one of our grandsons show him Minecraft and teach him some of the things. And it was fun because watching their interaction, but then he could come back to church and now engage with some of the younger boys at church who do that stuff while they're sitting around waiting for their parents. Now he can go sit down and actually have a conversation with them about it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so asking them. Number four, you had interact.
So go beyond just asking. I mean, asking opens a door and invites them in, but do it with them. Like you said, sit with those boys and play the game with them as you learn.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, during COVID, my technology advanced because I found out some things. But like on at least an iPhone, you can play games through text message with each other. Did you know that?
I didn't. Well, only because you guys were doing it when you came to visit when the COVID restrictions lifted a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, so the kids love that, right? Just interacting and playing games that way.
And it was a family thing that you could do together. Yeah. This next one, know your child. You know, you talked about one daughter being interested in getting on one social media platform, but that doesn't mean the others have the same interests. You also know where their vulnerabilities are and can help guard them, helping them protect their weaknesses.
Yeah. I read this study. It was a while back. I think it was done in the UK, but it was done on something for protecting children. And it talked about Instagram being the number one platform for child abusers trying to groom children. And the number one age group they're looking at is 12 to 15-year-old girls.
It's really scary when you look at the age ranges of these major things that can impact your whole family. But the pornography, it's so easy. You can think you have your kids safeguarded, but these are experts, and they know how to get in there and set control. So one click, your child's not even looking for it.
Right.
But one click, they land there.
Yeah.
You've got to be aware.
Yeah, and that's why I think that one's important where you mentioned, like, know your children, right? So if I had a young boy, and I realize it could be daughters as well, but especially if I had a young boy, like, I'd be careful with making sure I had certain filters on his phone because it's just so easy to access pornography.
And there's all these filters you can put on, all these safeguards, but it would also help you. You talked about each parent, set of parents having a different style. Mm-hmm. It might help you develop your tech plan for your family.
Yeah.
Knowing their weaknesses would help you know where to build things in, time limits, space, whatever it is. And I think that leads into this next one. Know your kids' passwords.
Yeah.
They don't get privacy.
Right.
Let them know you've got the passwords and you are coming in anytime you want to. This is silly because it has nothing to do with the technology, but my oldest daughter, when she was in grade school, was quite the slob, and you wouldn't think so now, but her locker was a mess.
Yeah.
And I finally one day just told her when I was in there, I said, your locker is not your own. Mm-hmm. Your mother can come to school anytime, any day, open that locker, and she better not find this mess. And it turned things completely. Her knowing I could walk in that door and look, and I think of that with this. The kids have to know they don't get private space, their children. You're going to have the passwords. You can open up their phone and look at anything at any time.
Yeah, and I think it's important to control the password as a parent because if not, the kids can install an app during the day while they're at school, uninstall it before they get home.
Exactly.
And you'll never know, right?
I hadn't even thought of that, but you're right.
Well, there's a lot more things that we probably haven't thought of. But that's what's interesting right now is this is one of the top things I hear from parents on is about technology and phones. And so many kids have, the parents will take the phones, the kids will have another phone, you know, underneath their bed.
That I have heard.
That's just really prevalent right now. But then this idea that, you control the password. You paid a bill probably, right?
Yeah, so you're the parent. Be the parent.
Right. And this is your job as a parent. Like, I know it's hard and it's difficult, but...
I know sometimes we don't want to hurt their feelings. We want to be their best friend, but that's not our job as the parent.
Yeah.
Our job is to help raise them to be worshipers.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about this one later, but there's just so much wrapped up in that role that we can't just sit back and let them make their own choices and do their own thing.
Yeah. What's the next one you have?
This one, your children probably won't like, but join their social media hangouts. And I know you've done that with your girls over the years. You let them have a Facebook, you're on Facebook. You let them have an Instagram, you're on Instagram. So you can see what they're posting.
Yeah, this is a tough one, though.
I know. I don't want my parents on here.
Yeah.
But again, you know, again, it's all wrapped up, and we talked about style. If you know your child, you may not have to be interactive on that thing, but you have access to check it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree. I think it's just hard because
it is.
Some of it's just time consuming, right? I don't care to be on Snapchat or TikTok.
I agree.
I enjoy making TikTok videos, though. Do you know that? We never post them.
You did them at my house.
No.
Yeah, the one with the pan over Belle's head.
Oh, yeah.
I've got it on my phone.
Yeah, when we would take a wooden spoon. I'd forget what song we're doing, but I would drum on her head with a pan on her head. It sounds really bad as we talk about it, but she loved it.
She thought it was great.
Yeah.
It sounds horrible. She had seen it, I guess.
Yeah.
And wanted to recreate it. So I don't know the song, but you were drumming on her head.
Yeah, and I have no rhythm.
And we were helping you get the beat.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, she was to come up out of that pan and crow like a rooster or something. It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, we never post them, but we have like a folder on our phones. And so we create them all the time.
But see, that's the fun. That's the way you guys are working around it.
Yeah, it's a lot of blackmail that the girls would have in the future if they ever wanted to use it, I guess. But I guess the same for me is that I would have that as well to use
against
them. So.
Nobody outside the family. They don't want anybody outside the family seeing
this. That's true. Yeah, so joining their social media hangouts. What, number eight?
This one, I can't stress this one enough. Keep the devices out of their bedrooms.
Yeah.
You alluded to boys and the pornography. Girls are prone to all this. What is it? Slamming each other and
There's a lot of bullying that takes place online.
And you know, to have them in their bedrooms and they're behind the shut door and you don't know at 2 o'clock in the morning, have they put the thing down? Are they still on it?
Yeah.
What are they on? I just think that's one of the key things is maybe have a spot in your house where they all get plugged in there at night and they don't go into bedrooms. And this is one that came up with that mom I was talking to this week. She and her husband put the phones in their room because they use them for an alarm clock, but they have each other for accountability.
Yeah.
And they're adults, so they can use a little more wisdom. And now their boys are getting older and she's starting to think this through. Like, I don't want him to have the phone in his room.
Yeah.
And I can't see what's going on. I don't know, but he needs an alarm to get up. So we talked about just purchase a cheap little alarm clock, stick it in his room and plug that phone in downstairs when he goes upstairs.
That's what we got our girls for Christmas was alarm clocks. And that was primarily the reason we got them was so that they didn't have to keep their phones in the room. And
We did. Our 17-year-old grandson came back and spent a few days with us after Thanksgiving. And he and my husband wanted to get up early one morning and go serve at a project at our church. Mm-hmm. So he needed an alarm to get up. And they know the rule at my house is no phones in the bedroom. So we unplugged our alarm clock, took it in there and gave it to him because I didn't want a 17-year-old boy in a bedroom with a phone by himself.
Nope. You're just up late. Nothing good's going to happen looking at it. And I think about even my daughters, you know, if they're scrolling through Instagram in the middle of the night and they start seeing, I don't know, like eating disorders and false images.
And things you don't even want in their heads.
All these things are out there, right, that start putting things in their head. And so,
Yeah. And that's just, it's all just thinking through ahead of time.
Yeah. Well, a lot of it's like I want to be there to help shepherd them through that, right?
Exactly.
Like, so when they see these things or have questions or things they're struggling with, if they're going to online for all the answers with friends their age or just random people on social media trying to figure things out in groups, like, that's not the place to get the answers to some of those things they may be dealing with.
And I think parents sometimes, that's not in the forefront of their mind because they're thinking of these other things. But before we had these digital phones and stuff, parents worked at that same thing. Like, I want my child coming to me.
Yeah.
To talk through these things, not talking to their 14-year-old friend who isn't any wiser on the topic than they are. And we forget that it's that same dynamic is coming up in what they're seeing on social media. And that kind of goes along with that next one, developing digital boundaries. We've already kind of alluded to it by keeping them out of their bedrooms. Think about it ahead as a husband and wife, as the parents of the kids. Involve the kids in the discussion and the plan, like why we're doing this, what we're doing. And, you know, if you need to write it up, write it up. Or it can be verbal. Your kids can know phones don't go in the bedrooms. They get plugged here. We have no phones at the table. We have no phone hour for an hour before bed, whatever it is that your family decides is best for you.
Yeah, and the good thing on the boundaries is most direct to phones, you can set that for your kid.
Yes.
Right. So I'm not good enough with technology to do it, but I know you can.
So. Yeah. You know you can do, so you have your child do it, then they know it's done. Yes.
Like limit your time on this app and set that boundary in.
That works.
Yep. Then number 10, you had discuss.
And our last one, we've already alluded to this. You've brought it up several times. Talk about it with your kids. Why don't you want them to have the phone in the bedroom? And address those things like, you'll see that, you know, there's the possibility you'll see this. I want to be the one you talk to about this. Or it could lead to, you know, one wrong click, you're going to wind up over here where we don't want you. You don't want to be. And just talk about those dangers and consequences.
Yeah, I think that's like trying to parent to heart, right? So we want to change these behaviors and we're going to put things in place to try to stop it. But the reality is we want our kids to see and make these decisions for themselves, because soon they're going to be 18. And once they hit 18 on a phone, you can no longer set controls for them.
You can't set the controls. But that's it. You know, it's our job as parents to shepherd that heart and to help them grow in wisdom. And you can't do that if you're just always barking out rules or you're closing your eyes to something.
Yeah. I think the thing to keep in mind, though, is like technology is not all bad. Like there's some great things with it, too, that can help us parent.
A lot of times when I'm speaking, especially to young moms, I feel myself kind of coming across negative, like the technology hater.
Yeah.
And I'm not. There's so many good things to it. I can be more involved in my grandkids' lives who don't live near me. Your youngest daughter sent me pictures every day this week of her glass blowing in J-term. So I can be involved in what she's excited about because we have this technology.
Yeah, we're doing the YouVersion Bible apps, the one I use. And so my three daughters and I, we're doing a Bible reading plan together right now.
Donna and I will do that sometimes.
And so you can interact with each other there and you can see who read that day and they can talk about what they learned and different things. So it's just a really cool thing to stay engaged.
Yeah, we've done that a couple of times over the last couple of years. So there's great stuff. It's not throw the whole thing out because it's entirely bad. It's that whole wisdom and knowing the dangers, being aware and putting things in place. And then you can enjoy more of the good that comes from it.
I think before we wrap up, the one thing I want to mention is because when I hear from most parents on this topic, it's regret because something's happened where it finally came to a head and something bad happened online. And now the parents are like, I've really messed up in this area. So I think parents need to know that you're going to mess up in this parent journey and you're going to mess up with technology with your children.
We're human. We're flawed.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, we know our kids are going to mess up. We're going to mess up too. And we can't beat ourselves up. We won't be productive at all.
Right.
If we spend our years beating ourselves up over past things, we have to know that Christ is our forgiver. And He's sovereign. He knew we were going to mess up.
Yep.
He knew that mistake was going to be part of our story. And so we confess it. We move on.
Yeah. I think we can confess it to God, repent, but also to our kids.
Absolutely.
Let them know, hey, I messed up. You know, you shouldn't have looked at this. You shouldn't have done this online, but I should have had some boundaries in place to protect you and to help you in this. And then after you repent, then move forward.
And move forward together, right? you've come together and you've had this hard conversation and they understand, and it's a great place for moving forward together.
Yeah. I mean, no matter what's happened, it's never too late, right? There's still hope. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage, because I know even myself and a lot of parents have struggled with that technology and felt like, man, I should have done things differently. So, yeah, this has been a good episode to jump back in on. Anything else before we wrap this one up?
I don't think so on this one. just go out there and make that plan.
Make a plan. All right. We'll see you next time on Vertical Families.